All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and I've got a question. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it is not Grimm's Hentai Corner. This is still Grimm's Visual Novel Corner, and we're doing Sekiri no Mori Dreamers, Part 13. And this is the big fight, so I'm very curious how this is going to work out. All right. Let's talk about our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. If you've got a doll, it'll work for you. And also, well, Manga Gamer, they've been releasing, I think they released something about some Dark Elves. They released a lot of stuff, but there's been some announcements, so you'll have to check out with them and see what's going on. At any rate, let's get going. The entrance to the dream seemed to be Sekiri no Mori Park, just like last time. Can everyone hear me? Yeah. Loud and clear. Me too. I've confirmed Katsuragi's location. He seems to be inside of his apartment again. I believe you mentioned you knew where it is, Shinji. Yeah, I do. Okay, then please guide everyone there, and be careful. The transmission ended, and we began moving. You really wear your lab coat even over your outside clothes. Is that strange? It's not exactly weird, just, I actually thought it was weird, but I didn't want to hurt her feelings. It looks uncomfortable to move in, especially in a situation where we don't know what might happen. Ah, no, you don't need to worry about that. If anything, this is something that's necessary for me in a dream. What do you mean? Look, Arisaka took out a paintbrush out of one of her pockets. Would have been better if it said took a paintbrush out of one of her pockets. It emanated dull light. That light, is this your weapon? Yes, and I can't get in the mood to paint if I don't wear this. Well, you mentioned it felt like underwear to you. Kirito chuckled. Says the one who goes everywhere in a kimono. As if the two are even comparable. It's completely different. Maybe it was because there were three of us, or because they'd been close friends, but the way to our destination felt a lot more high-spirited this time around. However, their quips ceased as soon as we got there, their relaxed expressions giving way to tense looks. It's here. There seem to be a lot of apartments here. Do you know which one's supposed to be Katsuragi's? I don't. It's 3106. I checked it last time. Roger, is he still in his room? Yes. Wait, he might not exactly be in his room. She paused, probably looking for him. I've got a bad feeling about this, Shinji. Can you walk up to the entrance real quick but not go inside? I nodded and did as she said. Fukugami? I just want to check something. I stepped 1 meter from the door. Madoka drifted away from me and stuck her head through the door. I knew it. It looks trapped. You've got to dodge this as soon as you open the door. Roger. Shizumiya contacted us again as I returned to the two.
Hmm.
Katsuragi is definitely in his apartment, but it's so big I can't quite pinpoint his exact location. It's possible he has already noticed you, so don't let your guard down. But he's inside in any case, right? Alright, I won't let him escape. Oh, wait, I'll open the door. Okay, go ahead. I switched places with her and led the group. I placed my hand on the doorknob and looked back over my shoulder. Step back. Okay. Jump to the side right away. Roger. I flung the door open and jumped to the side. Something heavy tore through the air right beside me. It returned to the entrance like a swing. It was a heavy-duty industrial hammer. Oh, that was weird. It's like you knew it was there, hmm? I thought I made sure you couldn't see it from the outside. Well, whatever. Katsuragi caught the hammer as it slowed down. That's a well-designed trap, don't you think? I made it myself. I'm different in here. This thing works differently in here. Katsuragi pointed at his own head. Traps! Darn, he's one crafty bastard. I heard that. Okay, I'll make sure you suffer too. You really are a freak. Katsuragi pulled the hammer off the string and faced us. We readied ourselves as well. This isn't my kind of thing. He tossed the hammer aside with a surprising amount of strength, though he made sure to pretend its weight made him stagger. It wasn't hard to dodge it, but Katsuragi had disappeared by the time we faced forward again. I took a peek inside to find him grinning in front of the elevator. I wonder if it's another trap. Katsuragi entered the elevator car as I hesitated. It might not be a good idea to use the elevator. It's too isolated. I think we should use emergency stairs. Yes, I agree. Let's do that. I was as familiar with View Tower Sekira no Mori as I was with my own home. I brought the two to the emergency stairs. As I've mentioned before, Katsuragi is hiding something in his room. I think it would be a good idea to find out what that is first. Roger. Huh? Wait a second. You said he lives in apartment number 3106? Yes. Isn't that pretty high up? It's on the 31st floor, which is also the top floor in this building. And we're supposed to climb the stairs all the way there? Well, all I can do is wish you luck. And with that half-hearted attempt to brighten her spirits, the transmission ended. I'm out of breath. That's pathetic. No wonder you're in an arts club. You don't even attend any clubs. The emergency staircase was outside of the building. I almost grew dizzy when I peeked down over the guardrail. I was forbidden to use them outside of emergencies, but I doubted anyone would have done it anyway. It's like, I knew Fukugami wouldn't even be breaking a sweat, darn. What do you mean you knew? It was the same when we went up the slope near the orchards outside of town. It's probably because of my cycling. Now that's nice. All boys should exercise a little, though I'm not a fan of those obsessed with sports either. True. Oh, we finally agree on something for a change. Not sure if that's a good or bad thing. What's that supposed to mean? Hey, stop chatting and pay attention, you two. There might be traps set on these stairs. Ah, stop. That's true. There's piano wire here? Again? He really is one crafty bastard. A piano wire? A thing like that won't stop me. Kirito readied her fan. Wait, you're gonna set it off if you cut it. I see. Then what are we supposed to do about it? Yeah, we gotta climb over it carefully. Like, oh, really? You were gonna use your fan and cut it, and who knows, it could be a bomb or something. Damn. Kirito looked down at her feet. That's what happens when you wear stuff like that on a mission. That lab coat won't make it easy to climb over either. It was a bit too late to regret our choice of clothing. We carefully advanced forward. And it didn't end with just one trap. We kept stopping and shifting our formation. This was getting annoying. This is making us bend in the weirdest of positions. It reminds me of that old game. Twitter? That's not old and not even a game. Ah! Kirito and I froze in response to her voice. I'm sorry, I slipped. We heard a loud noise come from above us. What's that? I really hope it's not a huge boulder rolling down the stairs. I saw that in an old movie once. No, it's not that kind of sound. It's a lot lighter than that. What? A bunch of golf balls swept under our feet like a waterfall. And it didn't look like the stream was about to stop anytime soon, either. He's mocking us. But it's surprisingly effective. It's impossible to walk like this. We can't drag our feet on the stairs, and those guardrails are way too low for us. Oh, way too low for comfort, but yeah, you get it. I said, yeah, damn, this is so frustrating. I'd have preferred a boulder at this point. I wonder what he's up to. Is he really doing this only to mess with us? He spelled it out for you just earlier. He said he'd make sure we'll suffer before killing us. I'm pretty sure that's his main goal. Arisaka shrugged. But what should we do with this? We'll end up waking up with nothing achieved if we just stand here. This is no big deal. It might have been another story if it was a boulder, but... Arisaka told us to stay close to her and readied her paintbrush. What was she up to? Arisaka began tracing the brush against some invisible lines before her. You could see she was used to handling it effortlessly danced in the air. And as the lines it painted connected, a shape began appearing seemingly out of nothing. It was as though she was painting on an invisible canvas. This is my power. In dreams. Arisaka turned around as the cinder block wall appeared before her. It was no longer just a painting, but the real thing. The golf ball has bounced off of it. Wow, that is quite something. Thanks. The deflected golf balls poured down from the sides of the stairs like a waterfall. We could finally walk safely again. Let's head back for now. Looks like we've got no choice but to use the elevator after all. Yeah. I inspected every nook and cranny of the elevator, but I couldn't find any traps there. I pushed a button and the doors closed with nothing unusual happening. By the way, how did you notice that trap in front of the entrance back then? Alright, I was thinking about that too. It's almost like you've got a sixth sense or something. It was just like that when you saved my life too. I was wondering if that was related to your powers somehow. I never told anyone about Monica. It wasn't something I particularly wanted to reveal, but I had no choice if it could potentially introduce confusion into our operations. It wasn't like I had to hide it. About that. Huh? The elevator suddenly stopped. We're not on the top floor yet, are we? The light indicating the floor number had turned off. I had no idea where we were at all. It was like we were trapped in a cage. I knew using the elevator was a dangerous idea. Huh? But why is this happening? Seriously. Right, both of them mentioned they weren't big fans of horror movies. Does anyone have a flashlight? Not me. Nope. At the same time, both of them grabbed onto my arms. I could tell they were trembling. Ah. Why did it have to be such a dim and red light? I don't like this color. What are you doing, Kureha? I'm not good with horror situations, so rather, what are you doing there? I'm just the same. Why don't you let him go? Well, why should I? I don't know. I just feel you should. What's that supposed to mean? Uh-oh. Hey, this is no time for games, you two. We're gonna run out of time if we don't do something about this. I'll force it open. I pulled out my arms and placed my fingers in the crack between the elevator doors. Damn, it's not budging. Let's cut it open then. Isn't that dangerous? We could fall if you mess up. I guess you've got a point. We might be in a dream, but falling down with an elevator is probably not the best of sensations. Leave it to me. I can draw another door on this. I just hope it leads us somewhere. I'm not sure what we should do if it's stuck between floors. This time she began painting directly on the doors. Her two-dimensional painting turned 3D, taking its place in reality the moment she finished. I'm opening it. I carefully opened the door. Phew, we're on a floor. Thank God. Wait. There's something odd here. This floor. No kidding. Is this how this apartment complex is supposed to be? No, not really. All the floors I'd seen before were normal. I suppose no one would live here otherwise. Ah, come to think of it, I've heard rumors of the non-existent 13th floor in the Sekiro Mori's tower. If you happen to wander into it, you end up getting stuck there forever. A pretty typical urban myth. Pardon. She says, I wonder if these stories can manifest in dreams, though. I'm really not sure about this. I sense something bad. What do you think we should do, Shinji? We're only going to run out of time if we stay here. Rumors couldn't scare them if they didn't know about them. I told myself so and stepped out. I really don't like the atmosphere in this place. This is just like that haunted house we went to. It seemed they were still scared regardless. Huh? Where'd the elevator go? I turn around only to see that the elevator was gone. Only the cables that held it in place were left. Arisaka pushed a button a couple of times, but it showed no signs of working. We ended up trapped anyway. This place might be larger, but it's still no different than a cell. Yes, it seems we gotta come up with a way to escape from this ourselves, or... Let's try heading further in. I stood in front of them and led the way, but the two quickly lined up beside me. Again, they each grabbed an arm. It really does feel like being in that haunted house. I wish it was just as safe. It was hard to walk with both of my arms occupied. However, I figured it was best not to say anything unless it was absolutely necessary. The two probably could use emotional support at the moment. I stared deeper at the floor. This is weird. Yeah. We can see ahead, but it's obviously not because of the lack of light. Yeah, this apartment complex might have been huge, but not that huge. No way it could have quarters so long you couldn't see to their end. Yet my gaze, instead of hitting the opposite wall, was only suckered in by the red darkness. I told them we should head further in, but now I was wondering if that further in even existed. It seemed like our anxiety wasn't unfounded. The red darkness continued with no end. But we were definitely moving. I turned back to see the elevator far behind us starting to get covered up with a similar dark mist. Why don't you try checking the rooms instead of just walking? The floor isn't like the others. Or this floor isn't like the others, rather. I guess it won't hurt to try. Hold on for a moment. I pulled out my arms and approached the nearest door. I'll try peeking inside. I placed my hand on the doorknob, but it didn't budge. The door was locked. I tried the next door with the same results, then the next. All the doors on this floor had mail slots for newspapers. Was that how all the doors in this apartment complex looked? I never paid much attention to these kind of details, so I couldn't remember. It was probably dangerous, but I kneeled in front of one of the doors and pressed my face against the slot. There's something shimmering inside. Uh-oh. I shuddered. And jumped to my feet. This isn't good. Huh? What's wrong? As I thought of how to properly explain what I saw, the sound of the doors unlocking reached us from inside. I quickly grabbed the doorknob. Yeah. I put all my strength into it, but my wrist gave way and twisted around like it was made of paper. Their strength was insane if I let them out. Wait, I'll cover us with a steel sheet. Arisaka, catching up with the situation, began painting a steel lock blocking the door. Hurry! Wait, I'm almost done! I fell on my knees just from trying to stop that doorknob from turning. The strength that had seized it was really unbelievable. The door! The sturdy looking door bent outwards. Just what the heck is there on the other side? I don't know, but we've got to run. This door won't hold long. I glanced back as I ran to see the door fly off its hinges and crash against the opposing wall. The monster quickly slipped outside and began chasing us. Hurry! I can't go any faster. Perhaps it was smarter to fight instead of wasting our energy running through an endless corridor. We definitely stood a chance in a three versus one fight. But then I heard the sound of footsteps from ahead of us too. Just what the heck is going on? Can you handle the thing chasing us? I'll take care of the one in the front. Alright, be careful. You too. The thing that appeared in front of us looked different from the monster that was chasing us. It looked human, in shape at least. At first I thought it might have been Katsuragi, but as it approached, I realized their builds were different. The person slowly staggered towards me. I didn't realize at first, but their footsteps seemed to be followed by some sort of wet sloshing sound. The person held their stomach with one of their hands. Aizawa. Ugh, it hurts. It hurts so bad. Ugh, damn, this is insane. My insides are all fucked up. No matter how hard I hold them, they keep falling out. I'm trying to put them back, but it doesn't work. What should I do? Am I going to die? Am I going to die like this? I'll get you your revenge. Yeah, thanks, Fukugami. Why is it so slippery? My hands. I can't. The Aizawa situation is actually very interesting to me, because I don't think that Aizawa was out to kill Fukugami. I think they were going to maybe have a tussle, a fight, maybe beat him up a few times, something like that. Regular bullying thing. But now that he realizes that fucking Katsuragi is insane with his goddamn knife and all the other crazy shit he does, he's actually kind of rooting for Fukugami now. Because, yeah, Katsuragi just took it way further than Aizawa had ever planned to go. It's alright, Aizawa. Teach that fuck a lesson in my place, please! I will. Don't let Katsuragi get away with what he's done. I won't. Moo! Oh wow, he flew over 10 meters. I dashed toward Katsuragi, intent on finishing him off when he was still on the floor. Eek, blood, I'm having a nosebleed again. God damn it. He called it a nosebleed, but he's already covered in blood. That was blood. I don't know anyone who'd better fit the description of a demon in human skin. Katsuragi, were you always this crazy, or... I'll kill you! You'll pay! Well, in any case, your life as a person seems to be over. You mentioned something about transcending earlier. You definitely did. You transcended mankind by turning into a worthless piece of garbage. I would have said shit, but yeah. Shut up, shithead. You're really pissing me off. And no one in school is any different. I'll kill you all! It looks like the fight's over. I was watching out of the corner of my eye. He pretended to be the guy from earlier and then burst out of his skin. Talk about crazy. What's so funny? Katsuragi wriggled on the floor, so he surrounded him. It couldn't be anything but bravado. There was nothing he could do. There's nothing he could do to us from that position. There we go. We've got to beat him up to open the gates to the core, right? Yes, I'll take care of that. But as soon as I clench my fist... Everyone, come out! He's bluffing. Hurry, Fukugami. Right. Ah, the doors! I raised my face in response to Kirito's voice. All the doors fell from their hinges like dominoes at the same time. No way, there's so many! Ha ha, they're gonna eat you alive! Katsuragi! We've got no time to deal with these things. Go after Katsuragi. Okay. Right. However, we couldn't go very fast while fending monsters off our backs. By the time we reached the elevator, Katsuragi was already in it, grinning at us. Hey, make sure they suffer as you eat them. Devour their lungs, stomach, liver, pancreas, spleen, kidneys, everything except for the heart. Make sure to leave it last. The doors closed just seconds before I could reach them. I mashed the button, but the elevator had already started moving. They're mannequins. Mannequins? They're not that strong individually, but when there's so many... Hold them back just for a little. Kirito leaped towards the elevator. Irisuka and I stepped to protect her back. Kirito swung her fan and a fissure ran across the doors. I cut off the wire. A dull rumble reached us from below after a couple of seconds. Ah, the mannequins! The weird things froze motionless. Everyone move to room 3106 immediately. The gate has appeared. And how are we supposed to do that? Isn't there an elevator on the opposite side? It should be moving now. Understood. Phew! The floor was all sorts of weird when we first stepped onto it, but now it functioned no differently than any normal floor. We managed to get to the elevator without any other problems. Is anyone hurt? No. Nope. Good, me neither. The lights recovered and the elevator steadily rose up the building. And finally, we've reached the top floor. I'm impressed you realize he was hiding inside. Is that also part of your mysterious power? No. He said Katsuragi. What about that? The real Aizawa didn't know him. At school, it sounded like that was the first time they met, and they never introduced themselves to each other. And I never mentioned his name in front of him either, so it was an immediate red flag. Ah, I see. Impressive perception. That said, I never thought he'd do something like that. Katsuragi might be more off the deep end than even Moriyasu. There wasn't time for it, but we still paused and looked around the room in shock. This is insane. This is way too creepy. It seems it wasn't only his humanity, but also his sense of aesthetics that were beyond hell. I see. That explains why he was buying that underwear. This is... What's wrong? Slightly indicated towards something... Hold on. I silently indicated towards something with my eyes. It's like he's got his own, bunch of, dolls. They're mannequins, though. Of course, the mannequins, they don't, move. The hands don't move very well. I did find a mannequin for $750. It's more like a doll, but you might as well go with a doll if you're gonna, you know, buy a mannequin like that. One of the mannequins wore PE clothes and had a name tag on them. Fukugami, could this be your sister's? Yeah. Wow. I finally remembered how Miss Miyako mentioned that something strange had happened to Hatsune. Jokes aside, I'm seriously worried. A couple of strange things have already happened since the start of the year. She was talking about her PE clothes getting stolen. I'd like to take them back, but I guess there's no point in doing it in a dream. I wonder what his parents think about his room. Well, there was a piece of paper saying he'd kill anyone who enters stuck on the door. I mentioned it before, but there were rumors of domestic violence at the Katsuragi household. It's possible they're not living together anymore. I see. That explains why the kitchen looks so awful. Did he live in this huge apartment all alone with his mannequins? No wonder he went mad. Or maybe he was already like that to begin with. I think it's about time we head to the core. Alright. Hold on a bit. There's something weird on the desk. I've already seen enough mannequins for one lifetime. No, this is something different. Look. What's that? A pot? It certainly looks like one. Or rather, it's definitely a pot. I wonder if it could be a homemade bomb. It's possible. I spotted what might have been some black powder near that pressure cooker, and the pot itself was filled with needles and ball bearings. Just what on earth is he thinking? Is he really out of his mind? Arisaka brushed the edge of the pot with one of her fingers, trying to avoid making any significant contact. The small pot was most likely packed with enough firepower to kill a whole bunch of people. He said everyone in school pissed him off. I think he was planning to... We've got to stop him. All that's left is to destroy that red Bodok. Yeah. Yep. I knew he was going to come in. Hey! You bastards! I can't believe... Katsuragi's wrists were obviously broken, while protrusions stuck out from his skin. You probably wouldn't be able to move with something like that in reality, but we were still in his dream. His body must have been running off of pitch-black malice at this point. Leave him. He can't do anything in that state. Let's hurry. It's around the time we should be waking up. We hurried down the dark cave. Shallow puddles splashed under our feet. It seemed like the core didn't differ much from person to person. Shizumiya said that these depths led to somewhere even further. A world that was connected to the afterlife, a place that almost no one came back from. Here it is. Katsuragi's soul seemed to still retain a proper shape, just like Kirito's grandfather said. He was most likely very mentally strong in a screwed up kind of way. He's here again. The guy just doesn't know when to give up. Can I leave the Bodok to you? I'll take care of him. The two nodded and I stood before Katsuragi. I'll kill you, I'll kill you. I swear I will. I've never been humiliated like this in all my life. Well, damn. We found a bomb in your room. Did you come up with that before or after the Bodok possessed you? Huh? I guess it doesn't matter at this stage. I turn away from him and rub my chin. That's the identity of the artifact that has transcended you. A curse. What is that monster doing in my house? Wait, where? He was so busy chasing us, he seemed to never even consider his surroundings. Where am I? Where is this? This is the inside of your soul. What? You told the mannequins to eat us, but it seems you were the one who was being devoured from the inside, Katsuragi. He took a deep breath, seemingly startled. Ugh! Damn, so that was why he took that breath. He spat blood in my eyes, momentarily blinding me. Shinji, duck! I obeyed Madoka's words and dodged Katsuragi's knife by the skin of my teeth. I kept desperately rubbing my eyes through the whole thing. What the fuck is up with you? I'm not even attempting that, guys. Oh, crap! Our positions had swapped as I dodged his attacks. Katsuragi tumbled down to the center where the other two were. This is the end. Careful, Korea. Eh? Katsuragi threw his knife with a broken arm without even rising from the floor. It stuck to Irisuka's back almost up to the hilt. Katsuragi! A Bodok, his body seemed to be missing parts, suddenly appeared between us. And... It got sucked into Katsuragi's body. He began twitching like a fish out of water. Meaningless babble poured forth from his mouth. I heard his already damaged bones crack under the pressure. What is happening? Are you alright? Arisuka stood still, leaning against Kirito's shoulder. Yeah, I'm not dead at least. What's happening to him? I don't know. The Bodok jumped inside him and it's like he started having a seizure. Jumped inside him? Is that even possible in here? I've never heard of anything like that before. But then again, there's a lot we don't know about Bodok, so... Katsuragi began frothing at the mouth. Moving against his will, his own body was destroying itself from the inside. I wonder what happens to you when you wake up after going through something like that. Yeah, not to mention he barely survived the fall with the elevator already. Right. Let's put him out of his misery. I don't know how I feel about hurting someone who can't fight back, but... I approached Katsuragi. Don't let your guard down. Katsuragi turned over as he convulsed, his face now lying down on the floor. Though his neck continued to turn... He suddenly floated to his feet like a stick emerging from water. Fuck off! I transcended! I'm a transcendent being, right? Blood kept pouring from his mouth as he laughed. Wait! I looked back to see Kirito shaking her head. Unfortunately, it seems our time is up. Wait! It doesn't hurt. Arisuka traced her hand along her back. Are you okay? Yeah, it doesn't hurt, but it feels like something's stuck there. How did it go? I lose sight of you as you enter the core, so... Kirito shook her head. We were almost there, but... I see. You said there was something in the house. Well, we found out what? A bomb! It's possible he might use it today. What should we do? We fell into thought. I guess we can't contact the police. They'd only laugh at us if we told them we saw it in a dream. Maybe we can ask Grandpa to vouch for us?
いくら警察 OB の情報とはいえ、確証もなしに葛
That might help, but I highly doubt they can get a warrant to search his house, even if the lead comes from an ex-detective. Yeah. The worst part was that we were still students. The police had to be extra careful when investigating people our age. It didn't look like Katsuragi had been possessed recently. But it takes a while to construct a homemade bomb, so it's still in his apartment. Then we probably still have time. Yeah. I gave her a vague nod. I wonder. Kirito's reluctance mirrored mine. Rather, my statement might have still been valid yesterday. But Katsuragi won't be the same after what happened to him in the Corps. He probably had turned into something else altogether. If he shows any suspicious behavior, we'll have to stop him, even if it means beating him until he's unable to move. I'm alright. I won't get in trouble if they discover a bomb among his belongings. But the three still regarded me with worried eyes. That's not what's bothering them. Eh? They're worried about you. I wasn't a hero. I kept telling that to myself. But I just felt that I had to stop that lunatic with my own hands. Though it had turned into a haunted house in the dream, in the daylight, Hatsune and Miss Miyako's apartment was nothing more than just another high-class apartment complex. I couldn't even see the 31st floor from the ground level. Was Katsuragi still in his room, or... Shinji, good morning. Huh? What happened? Did you get so hungry you couldn't wait? I came to pick you up. I gave them a mock, indignant smile, and they chuckled. Are you gonna have PE today? I glanced at the duffel bag she'd been carrying. Hmm? Yeah. Is something wrong with that? No, not really. A wave of anger rushed over me as I remembered the mannequin wearing Hatsune's clothes. His room had been full of them. Those were probably the attendants he mentioned earlier. There's nothing to be gained from trying to figure out his freakish mind, but he probably wanted to have someone like that in his life. He kept berating Saki in the amusement park, yet he still brought him with him. Saki wasn't the kind of person that would speak up for himself. That might have been perfect for him, but... Well, not Saki, but Seki, sorry. Seki was no mannequin, and he must have known it on some level. I really had no idea what was going on inside his mind. Let's have breakfast right away today. Miss Miyako moved to the kitchen while I sat down at the table. Casting furtive glances at Miss Miyako, Hatsune slowly leaned toward me. Did you dive in his dreams yesterday? Yeah. How did it go? We failed. We were just a step away, but... I see. Oh, you two are certainly getting along today. What are you talking about? We always get along. You only get to say that after you've learned how to master your embarrassment. There were a lot of Bodocs outside today, and it seemed like their numbers increased as we approached school. What's wrong, Shinji? You keep looking around. There are a lot of monsters here today. When you walked to school, the closer you got to it, the more people in uniforms you could spot. This time it was just like that, except with the Bodocs. It was as though they were all students in my school. Talk about sickening thoughts. The Bodocs passed through the school gates as though they were really ready for a day of classes. Not all of them were so well-mannered. Some just crept onto the school grounds by climbing over the walls. Ah, Fukugami and Hatsune too. Everyone. Good morning. realizing something was afoot, Hatsune offered a fairly reserved greeting. We've noticed this too. This isn't normal. Yeah. Of course, no one beside us could see them. Everyone was just haplessly diving into a sea of Bodocks. I felt like I was watching them walk through a minefield. Hatsune, you'll have to skip school today. What? Please, it's extremely dangerous here right now. What do you mean? I'm leaving her to you. I said to the three girls and turned on my head. Ah. Annie's gone. Whoops. Excuse me. What do we do? Unfortunately, I won't be able to listen to his request this time. Me neither. Yeah, we can't let him do this alone. What did it mean about being... What did he mean about being... Hold on. What did he mean about it being dangerous? It's possible someone might die today. And your brother is trying to stop that. Anyway, don't move far from here. Well, wait. You feel guilty about skipping school? No, it's just that I don't feel right running to safety when my brother is throwing himself into danger. Then, do you want to go with us? Bodok swarmed the school grounds. Uh-oh. I shook my head to cast the image from my past away. As one of the few that survived, I didn't want to accept it as mere fate, but there was nothing I could do. How could I have done anything about a 250-ton object falling from 24,000 feet? But this situation was different. Anything caused by human hands could be stopped with human hands. Katsuragi. He shouldn't have been able to remember... Oh, I'm sorry, that was Shinji saying Katsuragi, not him. He shouldn't have been able to remember what happened in the dream, but he definitely smiled when he saw my face, and he looked way different, too. It was about time for the homeroom to start, but he wasn't anywhere near his classroom. I began following him, but quickly stopped. He was walking in a very peculiar way, almost as if something had been wrong with his center of mass. It would take him a while to get anywhere like that, so instead of darting after him right away, I considered the classroom he came out of. Ugh. It was packed with Bodocks like a rush hour train. I could barely see across to the other end of the room, but then I realized that seeing them actually made it easier. Suddenly, all of them jumped into the students. It was just like that back then. They jumped into people on the plane like that too. I took in a big breath to let out a scream and froze. There was no use explaining this. The homeroom was about to start. There was no way for me to detract them from the rails of their usual behavior. Someone patted my shoulder and I spun around. Everyone! What? Even Hatsune's here. Wait, first we need to... Suzuki. I've got a message from our club... Or Suzuki, rather. I think it is Suzuki. I've got a message from our club supervisor. Ah, sorry, I mistook you for someone else. Kirito patted the shoulder of the closest student to us. Their time limit is 5 minutes. Kirito warned us as her eyes wandered to the timer. I looked around the classroom. It wasn't that big. 5 minutes should have been enough to find a bomb in it. Wait! Arisaka stopped me just as I was about to step inside. I know what you're thinking, but you can't do it. Why? Saving them means your own death, Fukugami. What are they talking about? Who's gonna die? They're saving someone? I survived this kind of thing once, but there's no telling if I'd be that lucky again. We stood in place, haunted expressions across all of our faces. Our eyes wandered among each other, hoping that someone might have had a good idea, but no one as much opened their mouth. Well, it should be as much as opened their mouth, but they didn't put that. Was this fate? They've been swallowed by a whirlpool of death, and it was too late for us to do something about it. That couldn't be true. Right, it's the one who saves them that ends up taking the bullet, right? It's not like we've got to do it. There's someone more fitting for that. Katsuragi! He hadn't gone that far away yet. He awkwardly turned around as he heard my voice. You're Kokaju. He paused to think as he called me by a wrong name. It's like, right, I was planning to kill you, but why? Katsuragi's jaw quivered as his eyes seemed unable to focus on a single point. His very eyeballs slowly rolled in seemingly random directions. Well, whatever. I feel too great right now. I'll let you live. What are you doing? It's almost time for morning homeroom. Don't be late. Probably scared by Katsuragi's foul look, the teacher hurried away. Katsuragi, you placed a bomb in that classroom, didn't you? Huh? Well, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? You sure you want to let it happen? He laughed at me like a fool and then staggered around like a faulty spinning top. I shouted at his back. You precious mannequins are going to end up as ash alongside them. You really want that? What? I needed to make him clean up his own mess, and this was the plan I came up with. You live in room 3106 of View Tower, Sakuramori. I've been to your room, and I got one of your precious mannequins and hid it in this classroom. What the hell are you talking about? His eyes finally focused, and he stared at me with his usual malice. You think I'm lying? But then how do you think I know what you're hiding in your room? There was a sign saying you'd kill anyone who'd entered. Well, I'm waiting. Katsuragi suddenly stopped shaking and snorted. Haha, you snuck into my room? That's amazing. But Suigami, I've no idea. Who the fuck is Suigami? I've no idea what made you think I cared about those mannequins. They're just my toys. I mess with them until they break. Oh, sir, do you fuck actual mannequins? Look, as part of the doll community, there's a non-sexual sex doll. I wouldn't even, it's called a love doll or companion doll. Yeah, I'm not crazy about actual fucking mannequins. Yeah, mannequins, that's weird, bruh. I mean, there's no face, there's no expression, they don't even feel lifelike. They feel like mannequins, stiff, and there's nothing going on there. So, yeah, I can't go with that. I'm not a mannequin fan. You sure about that? Fukugami Hatsune? A girl that lives in the same building as you. I know you've seen her before. But you've never approached her. You're not interested in girls. You prefer your mannequins to attend to you. If they were just your toys, you could have just used random clothes on them. But there was one wearing Fukugami Hatsune's. I approached him and whispered the last words into his ear. He smelled like rotting fish. You sure you want those gym clothes to burn? Katsuragi stared at me, his eyes filled with rage. The whites of his eyes looked filthy. It looked like there was something crawling in them. You little piece of shit! Yeah. Where did you hide it? Katsuragi, what happened? Stop this at once. Is it in the cleaning locker? It's fucking empty. Tagami, I knew you were lying. Who the fuck is Tagami? There's no way you could hide something like that in a classroom. There's no space for it. In that moment, a Bodok jumped into me as well. Oh shit, here we go again. It seemed like I had no choice but to make him save us now. I dismembered it. I put its right arm there and left it over there. I nodded towards random desks throughout the room. As for the head, what are you gonna do, Katsuragi? There's just 1 minute till everything's reduced to rubble and ash. I quickly glanced at the timer just to confirm. Rubble? Ash? What? You think you'll be able to retrieve all the parts in mere seconds? That sounds faster than just toss the bomb outside the window or something. A bomb? What are they talking about? You bastard! Ah! I didn't dodge on purpose and continued to count in my head. We were really almost out of time. I wiped the blood from my face with the back of my hand. I'd appreciate if you could hurry. I don't know where you hid that bomb. Katsuragi hurried to the sole desk without an occupant. There was a duffel bag beside it. I figured that was most likely the bomb. He picked it up and hurried to the window and tossed it outside with all of his strength. Within moments. Holy shit! The students instantly started to scream, knocking over their seats as they frantically struggled to get out of the classroom as quickly as possible. Then, the army of Bodok suddenly appeared in the classroom again. They surrounded the heavily breathing Katsuragi and began jumping inside him one after the other. His body contorted and twisted as he turned around. Only rage shone in his eyes. You finally remembered my name. Yeah, I did. I'll kill you now, I swear. I'll kill you even if it's the last thing I do. Katsuragi crouched down and picked up a large piece of glass. Think of it as free reconstructive surgery of your face. I'll poke your eyes out. I'll grind your nose off. I'll cut your ears off. And I'll do it in the most painful way possible. He stared at me with an obvious intent to kill. It was probably fate. He didn't once take his eyes off my face. He didn't even notice the chair one of the students had accidentally knocked onto the floor between us. He tripped on it and fell, with a large piece of glass still in his hands. Oof. Teacher. Eek! Ah! Something akin to the sound of a flute filled the air as he moaned. It seemed like the glass pierced his trachea. Oof! Ambulance! A pool of blood began to spread across the floor. What does the timer say? I glance at it to see that it stopped 1 second and let out a sigh of relief. Ah, Fukugami, how did it call? How did it go? Whoops, sorry about that. Let me look at that. There we go, yeah. Ah, Fukugami, how did it go? Kirito peeked inside the classroom. I wouldn't look if I were you. Katsuragi's dead. Huh? Don't tell me you. He ended up killing himself, and the teacher saw it all too. I see, I'm sorry for getting weird ideas. Both Kirito and Shizumiya looked like they had something else to say. Well, looked like they had something to say, rather. I noticed it, but nonetheless said nothing to encourage them. Huh? The area below your nose is red. Is that blood? Hmm? Oh, yeah. I wiped it off with my hand, but that didn't stop it. Wait. Here you go. Shinji, here. Mifuyu, use this. I received 4 handkerchiefs at the same time? Huh? Huh? Hmm? Huh? I don't want to dirty that with my blood. Exactly. Which one of us are you even talking to? It didn't look like they were planning to back off, so I just took them all. It's insane. The whole school is in an uproar. I mean, no one was prepared for a bomb to suddenly go off at a place like this. But you really outdid yourself this time, Shinji. I can barely believe it. Yeah, I'd almost given up at one point. I'm impressed you thought of tricking him into taking care of this himself in that split second. I was finally able to relax my expression as everyone smiled. It's Hatsune who we've got to thank. What? Me? Though I guess putting it that way is a bit weird, when, if anything, you're a victim. I'll explain later. Though, I looked around the empty corridor. I couldn't hear a single sound from the classrooms. What's gonna happen now? Everyone's kinda gone. They'll probably close school for today. Anyway, the incident is solved as far as we're concerned, so we might as well go out, let our hair down in town or something. I agree. Maybe let's try joining the others first. Shizumiya indicated a group of people gathered in the athletics field. Hatsune took my hand as we started moving. I was really worried. Being considerate, the other three had hurried ahead of us. I've heard everything from them. You were trying to do something about a bomb without even thinking about yourself at all. I was so worried. I wouldn't have known what to do with myself if you had died. Hatsune. I wanted to stop you, but I know I'd ruin everything if I did. I'm so glad you were all right. Tears welled up in her eyes. I'm sorry for making you worry so much. She pressed her tiny frame against me. I'd never touched her like that before, even after she became my little sister. What was I supposed to do in a situation like this? Marika smiled at me without saying anything and disappeared again. It wasn't about what I was supposed to do, but what I wanted to. But for now, it's alright. I gently stroked her back. But her tears couldn't quite stop that easily. Contrary to Kirito's expectations, they didn't close the school. Self-study. They could have just let us go. There's no way anyone can concentrate today anyway. So they just made it a study hall day. Yeah. Both the police and media showed up at the school, making it hardly an ideal environment for studying. Yeah, they should have just let the kids go. Here in the U.S., they would have definitely had the kids go. Kids would have definitely been gone. The parents would have like, hey, I'm pulling my kids out of the school. They probably wanted to keep us inside for a little while longer. At least a little while longer. What? Why? There's hundreds of people on the streets out there. Oh. Though I don't know if most of them will scatter by the end of school either. I guess I've got no choice. Might as well study instead of doing nothing. Staying true to her serious personality, Kirito returned to her desk with a disappointed sigh. And as though having waited for that, Shohei suddenly approached me. Okay. Hey. Aizawa didn't come to school today. He's kind of wild, as you know, but he never disappeared without notice like this before. His parents called me, saying he never came back from school yesterday. You're the last person who's seen him. I've no idea where he could have gone after we split. It didn't look like he believed me, but it didn't seem like he had thought. It didn't seem like he thought I had something to do with it either, at least so far. His parents said they'll be contacting the police if he doesn't show up today. I got the feeling people keep disappearing a lot in this town lately. You're worried? Not really. Eh? He said, I've lost count of the number of times he's punched me. I never really thought of him as a friend. And so school ended without a single proper class throughout the day. The police summoned me in the middle and interrogated me in the presence of the teachers. It was easy since the adults already had already more or less explained what happened. The only part that required a bit of imagination was the fact I acted as though I knew about the bomb beforehand. In the end, I happened to hear him talking to himself about it. It wasn't the most believable lie, but no one could prove I was lying. In the end, I got off with a bit of a stern talking to. Unlike what happened with Moriyasu, we actually got a proper body on our hands this time, and they'd probably eventually discover signs of bomb making in his apartment too. We could leave the rest to the police. Well then, let's finally go home. Yeah, we decided to go home as a group since a bunch of reporters were stalking students at the gate. I was told as much during our lunch break. I think it'd be better if you don't go home alone today, Shinji. Huh? Why? I've already heard rumors about you in school. The media couldn't have missed it either. They're probably looking for an opportunity to surround and not let you go until you tell them something. What rumors? That you're the hero who has saved the school. Come to think of it, I happen to hear someone whispering a word or two along those lines. There's no way anyone could have been aware of the details, but they filled the missing parts with their imaginations and came up with a satisfying enough story. A hero? Does it make you happy? Hatsune just gave us a mixed smile. It's true that it makes me proud of him as a sister, but I also don't want him to put himself in danger. Everyone fell silent. I found everyone else and we left the school together. At least the club activities seem to have been canceled today. They're still there. Well, there was a bomb at the school, and it was strong enough to kill somebody. That doesn't happen every day. No wonder they're interested. A group of people with cameras and microphones stood in front of the school. It looked like they were just waiting to surround us as soon as we stepped outside. Okay. Alright, just one second, folks. Let me handle some business. Okay. And we're back. Looked like they were just waiting to surround us as soon as we stepped outside. Oh, they're looking at us. They probably already know who you are. Arisaka glanced at me. I have a comb if you want. No, I'm good. I gave them a resigned smile. We could climb over the fence somewhere on the other side. No, that's okay. It's not like we've done anything we need to hide. I guess that's true. And so we headed to the gate. It became pretty obvious that the media was targeting me as we drew closer. Are you Fukugami Shinji, the young hero that saved the school today? I almost fainted at work when I heard what had happened. Huh? They were talking about it at your work? I'm not the only one there whose children attend Sakura Gowaka, so... Now that I think about it, I forgot to write something to you. The whole day was just too chaotic. Should be another O there. That's okay. They later reported that no one was hurt, so I was relieved. The students had sat by the window who had been exposed to a shower of glass, so it truly was a miracle that no one got hurt. I suppose there was one. I heard the culprit got killed. Shinji, your nose looks kind of red. Oh, really? I wonder if it's because I drank sweet sake earlier. Sake? Now that can't be really alcoholic, right? Because he's like a teenager. Really? Sweet sake? As soon as I lowered her gaze, her shoulders trembling, it seemed like she was secretly laughing. She cried a lot just after the incident, so I was glad to see her finally cheer up a little. They might show it on the 7 o'clock news. Ah, look. Not only did it show up on the news, it was the top story. A bomb exploded outside one of the local area schools today. Police received reports of an explosion at 8:50 in the morning and immediately hurried to the location in question. An aerial shot of our school building showed up on the screen. They didn't report the name, but anyone who was familiar with it could easily recognize it. The student suspected of setting up the bomb had been critically injured during the incident and was transferred to a local hospital where he was later declared dead. The police believe he acted alone and have no other suspects at this time. The bird-eye view of our school gave way to footage of our school gates. They blurred out the name of the school, but anyone familiar with it would have easily recognized that front gate. An oddly unbalanced group of one guy and four girls appeared from the gates. It was me. Oh, is that you, Shinji? It seems so. Are you the young hero that saved the school today? They cut out my name, but that line sounded awfully familiar.
Hero?
Hero, huh? What? What do they mean? It didn't seem like I could hide it anymore, so I gave her the same story I gave to the police. Miss Miyako opened her mouth wide and kept glancing between my face and the TV. That sure was a big story for them to have spent so much time on it. That's amazing. Anyway, I'm just glad no one got hurt. Except for your nose. I smiled and nodded.
Mm.
Hey. Hey, old friend. I haven't seen you in a while. Does it hurt? Are you in pain? Actually, a little bit. It doesn't. It doesn't hurt. I'm not in pain. Are you sure? Your fortitude is impressive. Fortitude? I wish you were like that on this other thing, too. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That woman. She hates noise. If you cry, if I cry, it'll become worse. Will she hit me? Yes. Will she kick me? Yes. So no matter how much it hurts, you've got to endure. It doesn't hurt. You're good. Look at your arms, huh? They're covered in bruises. That's true. Your legs, too. I see. And your back. Even your stomach. And your face. They're everywhere. There's so much. There she is again. She came back. Be quiet. Okay, we're about ready to kick this bitch's ass. Again. It's the same again. When are we gonna get introduced to this crazy woman? Kick her ass. Tsukata Ryohei. Oh, right. Hopefully that's the fucking name of that damn nurse or doctor, whoever the fuck, because I want to find out who she is and start kicking her ass. But anyway, guys, that's it. We finished it. It was a little different than what I was expecting. I mean, there was a little bit of a fight in the dream world, but the main fight happened in the real world, and Shinji's a hero now, saved the school. So that's pretty cool, right? Anyway, hey, this is just getting more interesting as I keep going, and I'm not gonna stop, even if I only have a few viewers on most of the social sites. Or the, you know, the YouTube, the acronym site, and, of course, there is BitChute, who seems to be checking these out. So, hey, thanks, guys. I do appreciate it. At any rate, this would be the Grimlord, and I am out of here. Later.